There is a conversation that's been going on in my house for about 15, 16 years now. And the conversation usually starts the kind of the same way and usually ends the same way. The conversation usually starts with either Beth, my wife, or I saying to one of our children, hey, we need you to fill in the blank. So we need you to clean up your room, or we need you to do the dishes, or we need you to vacuum the living room, whatever it is. We need you to do something. And then usually what happens after that request is made, we are encountered with a question that comes from one of our children. And you all, if you have raised children, you know what this question is. It's a three-letter word, which is
why.
Why? Yes. We get this question all the time. Why? And so then what happens is I usually give some sort of lengthy, detailed explanation as to why I want them to do this, which is then followed by a subsequent question from one of our children, which is, why? Yeah, I get it again. Why? And so then I go into a long dissertation as to why I want them to do this. And then this will go back and forth. Sometimes it'll go back and forth for several minutes. Sometimes it'll go back and forth for just a few seconds. But typically the conversation always ends this way. Because I am your father and I told you to, right? And you all know what that conversation is like. Because we understand, right? We understand that our kids don't need more information. What they need is just obedience to the information that they already have. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, many times we're not much different, right? As we follow Jesus, it's typically not more information that we need. It's just obedience to the information that we already have. John Maxwell, author, he writes a lot of books on leadership and a Christian expert on leadership. He says this, he said, most American Christians are not up to speed with their obedience to the level of their information. What he says is that you and I as American Christians, we have way more information than we do obedience in our lives. And God isn't so much concerned about information as he is about obedience to the information we already have. And I know this because in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says what? Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James is writing there. And James writes this. He says, if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, so if you just hear it, you don't actually do it, you don't obey the information that you have, he said, you are deceiving yourself. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus told a parable about a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And he said the difference between the wise man and the foolish man is just simply putting into practice the words that they have heard. The wise man who builds his house on a rock, Jesus said, they're going to experience the storms of life, but they have put into practice my words and their house will stand. He said, the foolish person, they've heard my words, but they've not put it into practice. And when the storms come, their house is going to go slam. He said, that's the difference between a wise person and a foolish person, just simple obedience in their lives. And I have been here before, right? Like in my life, there are times in which I knew, I had the information that I knew I should do this. I should share my faith. I should be generous with my resources, but I didn't do it. And according to Jesus, I wasn't being a disciple because I didn't obey everything that he had commanded. There are times that I had all the information that I knew I shouldn't lie. And I lied. And according to James, I didn't deceive that other person. What I was doing was I was actually deceiving myself. There have been times in my life where I've had all the information. And I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And according to Jesus' words was, I was acting foolish. Because I didn't obey the information that I already had. And I don't think that I'm much different than you. I know that as I look out here, there are some who are super spiritual and you got this all together and you just do everything that God says and you never violate anything God has told you to do and you've got it all together. So you can just tune me out for the next 20 minutes, okay? But for the rest of us, there's a principle that I want to give you this morning that I just want you to chew on today, into tomorrow, the rest of this week, really the rest of our lives. And that is this. And it's the call that Jesus gives to all of us, is to obey in every way. Obey in every way. Obey in every way. And here in Luke chapter 5, Peter experiences this truth in his life, and Peter makes the decision that he's going to obey in every way. And so we're going to pick it up here in Luke chapter 5, beginning in the first verse. Now, what's happened prior to this, in Luke's gospel, he's writing about the life of Jesus, and Luke shares about that great temptation that Jesus experienced for 40 days in the wilderness, and he comes out of that, and he's casting out demons from people, and earlier, just right before we get to this account, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is healing people. One of the people that Jesus heals is Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I'm sure Peter really appreciated that, okay? And so, He healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. So this isn't the first time that Peter has experienced Jesus as we get to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says this: "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat." So what's happening here is Jesus kind of starting his ministry, and he's been healing people, he's been casting demons out, and he's been teaching, and the Bible tells us that he was teaching as one, not like the rest of the teachers, he was teaching one who had, as one who had authority. And so everybody, wherever Jesus went, everybody was following him. I've only lived in Bellwood for almost a year now. In 2 weeks, it'll be a year. And I have learned something about Bellwood. Like, it doesn't take long for news to get around Bellwood, okay? It's like people know things like just like that. I was at the school one day and a fight broke out. My daughter wasn't at the school. She called me 5 minutes later and said, "Hey, how was the fight at school?" I was like, "How did you know that already?" Okay. So I found out word gets around pretty quick in Bellwood. And Jesus' day wasn't much different. Word had got around. "Hey, did you hear about this guy? He was healing people and he's casting out demons." And everybody's like, "Hey, we need to go see him. We want to hear what he has to say." And it's all the paparazzi's around and he's standing here at the edge of the water. People are pushing in on him to hear what he had to say, and he's like, "Hey, I need to get some space here." So he sees Simon Peter and he says, "Let me get into his boat," and he asks Peter to get out, and so he goes out into the water a little ways, and there's the people staying on the shore, and Jesus is just teaching them the word of God. He's teaching them. And when he gets done, he asks Simon Peter to do something unusual. Pick it up in verse 4, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" Imagine, I just want you to put yourself in Peter's shoes at this point, okay? Peter knows a little bit about Jesus. Peter grew up as a fisherman. He knew the ins and outs of fishing. He knew probably the lake here, like the back of his hand. He knew what it was like to catch fish. And so he lets Jesus into his boat, and he's like, "Hey, Jesus, I know you're probably a pretty good carpenter. I know that you're a pretty good teacher. You're pretty good at healing mother-in-laws, too. And so you do a lot of things really well, but now you're asking me. I'm a fisherman. You're not a fisherman. You're asking me to go out into the deep for a catch. We've worked all night and we've caught nothing, but at your word, I'll do it." Now listen, if Jesus were just simply a preacher, it'd be crazy for Peter to listen to him. If Jesus were simply a carpenter, it'd be crazy for Peter to listen to him. If Jesus was simply a miracle worker, a mother-in-law healer, it'd be crazy for Peter to listen to him. But Jesus is much more than that. Jesus is the creator of the universe. He knows how the world operates. Jesus is our Savior. He wants what's best for you and I. Jesus, if that doesn't motivate you to obey, Jesus is God. He has the right just to simply to tell us what to do. And so Peter gets to this point. If Jesus were just a carpenter, Peter'd be crazy to listen to him. But he says, but I know that you're much more than that. And even though we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, I'm going to obey in every way. I'm going to obey in every way. So just a couple principles that I want you to think through as we think about this idea of obeying in every way. Number one is that many times our obedience is going to lead to a crisis of faith. It's going to lead to a crisis of faith. When I say crisis, I don't mean like a car accident or a death of a loved one. Crisis is the idea that you come to a fork in the road and you got to make a decision. You're in a crisis here. You got to decide what you're going to do. And that's what Peter finds himself in here. Jesus is in the boat. He gets done teaching. He says to Simon Peter, I want you to let out into the deep for a catch. And Peter says what? He says, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. That's a statement of reality, right? They were at the shore. They'd just been finished up all night. They'd been washing the nets. They're tired. They just want to go home. And so this is the reality Peter finds himself in. We worked hard all night and caught nothing. But the sentence doesn't end there, does it? Peter says, but at your word, we'll go and do it. Peter was left with a decision here. Was he going to listen to his reality, or was he going to listen to Jesus? And all of us, when it comes to the area of obedience, we're going to come to this crisis of faith. And this is really borrowed from Henry Blackaby in his book, Experiencing God. He said, if we're going to experience God, if we're going to obey God, we're all going to come to this crisis of faith. And Henry Blackaby says this. He says, our obedience problem is really ultimately a faith problem. Right? He says we don't obey because we don't trust God. We don't trust Jesus. Do I really believe Jesus knows the best way for me to handle my money? Do I really believe Jesus knows the best way for me to live in my marriage? Do I really believe that Jesus knows the best way for me to date? Do I believe Jesus knows what's best to put into my body? Do I believe Jesus knows what's best for me? And if I do believe that, then I'm going to obey. If I don't believe that, then I'm not going to obey. And that's why Henry Blackaby says this is a crisis of faith. It's not an obedience issue. It's a faith issue for most of us. And so here's Peter. He's left with this crisis. And he said, here's my reality, but at your word, I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to ask you a personal question this morning. It might be too personal for you. But I want to ask you this morning, how big is your butt? Peter had a pretty big butt, right? He said, here is my reality. We worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your word, we'll go and do it. Like, you may be here today and your reality may be saying one thing, but God is saying something else. You may be saying, I get to the end of the month, I don't have enough money to be generous, but God has asked me to be generous. Are you going to obey even though your reality says something different? God tells me I shouldn't remain angry. I need to forgive those who have hurt me. But my reality says that those wounds are very deep. And sometimes my reality doesn't always match up to what God is asking me to do. And this is where Peter found himself. He says, my reality says one thing, but at your word, I will go and do it. I'm going to obey in every way. Peter said, even when it doesn't make sense. And if you read through the rest of Peter's life, there was a whole lot of times that Peter was like, this doesn't make any sense, but because you've asked me to do it, I'm going to do it. Somebody after the first service said, I should have had that statement put on a magnet so you could take home, how big is your butt? I actually like reading from the New American Standard, and in the New American Standard it says, nevertheless. He says, nevertheless. That actually sounds better, but how big is your nevertheless? Anyways, but that's what it says here in the NIV. So he goes and he does that. And in the very next verse, when they had done so. So the moment he is obedient, and I don't want you to miss this either. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, put out into the deep water and let down your nets to fish. He told him, he said, we are going to go and have a catch. Jesus already promised that. And so in faith, Peter goes and obeys. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. They just simply obeyed, and look what God had done. Imagine if Peter would have said, I'm tired, we caught nothing, you don't know anything about fishing, I know what it is to fish, and so I'm just going to go home. They would have never caught this record number of fish. So we're all going to come to this crisis of faith. And then number two, I want you to see this, is that obedience is costly. Right? It's going to cost you and I something to obey Jesus. I want you to jump down right to the end of this paragraph in verse 11, or really the end of verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And actually, in Matthew's account of this, Matthew says that Jesus said to them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so Jesus gives the call, come follow me. And Peter says what? He says, I'm going to obey in every way. And then look in verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. When you decide to obey in every way, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. When you decide to obey in every way, it's going to cost you something. It may cost you popularity. It may cost you a relationship. It may cost you a promotion. It may cost you money. It may cost you resources. It's going to cost all of us something when we decide that we're going to obey in every way. But the cost of obedience pales in comparison to the cost of disobedience. When we disobey, the messes that we make in our life are more costly than the cost of just obeying Jesus. So Peter comes here and he says, you know what? I'm going to obey in every way. And it says here that they came to shore and immediately they left everything. They left the record number of fish. They left the nets. They left the boats. They left their family. They left the business. They left their friends. They left everything to follow Jesus. Because Peter said, even though it's going to cost me, I'm going to obey in every way. Pastor Mark Dennison tells a story. When he was in college, he went on a mission trip to Malaysia. And him and some of his college classmates, they were helping a little church there in Malaysia. And one Sunday while they were there, there was a young girl in her early 20s. She came forward to be baptized. And before she came forward to be baptized, she had a suitcase and she left it at the end of the row, walked forward, and got baptized. Pastor Dennison said as he sat there, he was like, I wonder what the suitcase, was it a change of clothes? He couldn't figure out why she had that suitcase with her. After the service, she picked up the suitcase, walked out the door, and Pastor Dennison asked the pastor of the church there in Malaysia, he said, that was great, that girl got baptized, what was the suitcase all about? And the pastor began to explain that this young girl grew up in a Muslim home. And her parents told her that if she were to be baptized into the Christian faith, that she could never come home again. And the pastor said, so she brought her luggage with her. Because obedience to Jesus is always going to cost us something. And she was willing to pay the cost. Whatever it costs, she said, I'm going to obey in every way. Peter said, I'm going to obey in every way. You can look through the pages of Scripture. There are people after people after people throughout the pages of Scripture that said, you know, no matter if it doesn't make any sense, no matter if it costs me, I am going to obey in every way. And this is why, because they understood this, is that ordinary obedience will lead to extraordinary blessings. Your ordinary obedience to Jesus is going to lead to some extraordinary blessings. Peter's simple, ordinary obedience to say, all right, I'm going to go out into the deep. I'm going to let down my nets for a catch. And they caught a record number of fish. Peter's ordinary obedience to say, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you lead. Led him to become the leader of the early church. He led many people. One day he preached and 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God blessed him extraordinarily because of his ordinary obedience. And the same is true for you and I today, that if we take the step and say, I'm going to obey in every way, our ordinary obedience will lead to extraordinary blessings. Ordinary obedience to Jesus is going to lead to extraordinary blessings in your life. I just want you to think about that for a second. You may say, well, there's some things that God asks me to do that don't make any sense, and it's going to be costly. I want you to think about how much you would save if you would just simply obey in every way. For some, it's going to save your children going down a wrong path. When you obey in every way, for some of you, it's going to save a marriage. For some of you, when you obey in every way, it's going to save you from having to clean up some terrible messes in your life. When you would just make the commitment to obey in every way. So how do we improve our obedience? There's a couple things that I think you can do. Just you can start doing this week. If you do these things, it'll help you to obey in every way. Number one is just simply read and apply God's word. I know that's kind of like a drum I've been beating a lot here lately, but it's so true. Like, how am I going to obey if I don't know what to obey? And so just simply read God's word. God's word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So read and apply God's word. There are sometimes that God gives some very clear commands in his word about how we're to live, right? There's some big ones like don't steal. You don't really have to nuance that at all. Just don't steal. It's a very clear command. Don't lie. Don't commit murder. Don't bear false witness. Don't commit adultery. Those are all very clear commands that Jesus gives to us. But there's also some things that we call timeless principles, where there's not really a clear command, but there's some principles that we know that if we apply them in our life, that's going to lead to great blessings. For instance, one of the ones that always comes to my mind is the idea of stewardship. That God is that he gives a principle in the Proverbs that, you know, if you're in debt to somebody, you're like a slave to a master. And so he says, don't go into debt. That's a principle that we can apply to our lives, that if we exercise self-control in the area of our finances, that we can be more generous, that it's going to help us live a more joyful, peaceful life. There's a principle tied to that. So what are those clear commands? What are the timeless principles that God gives to us? And then there's a second part. This is the one everybody hates, but I don't like it either, but I know that I need it. And that is to seek out accountability in your life. Because the truth is this. This is true every area of your life. We don't always do what's expected, but we will always do what's inspected. Right? And so it's important for you and I to have that person in our life that on a regular basis, they're asking us those tough questions. Like if I'm having an issue, an area of my life in which I'm having trouble just obeying, it's important for me to have somebody in my life that's going to ask me on a regular basis, how are you doing at that area of your life? Are you obeying in every way? Because we need one another. As one man, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So you need that accountability, layer of accountability in your life because we don't always do what's expected, but we will do what's inspected. And listen, if you will just make the commitment to obey in every way, I promise you this. I'll give you a money back guarantee. I promise you, you'll live a life with more joy. You'll live a life with more peace. You'll live a life that is more fulfilling and enriching when you just simply determine to obey in every way. Lee Jackson, 23 years old, he was a supply clerk with the 82nd Airborne at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. One day he was taken up in an airplane and he was sent out of the airplane door on his very first parachute jump with no formal training. They determined that it was a clerical error that put him in the airplane and made him jump out, but when he landed, unharmed, he landed, they asked him, they said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Well, if the Army told me I was certified to be a paratrooper, I figured I was certified to be a paratrooper." And then he said this. He said, "My job as a soldier is not to question orders, but just simply to follow them." Our job as followers of Jesus, even when it doesn't make any sense, is just simply to obey in every way. Because he cares about you. He wants what's best for you. And matter of the fact is, he's God. He has the right to tell us what to do. And so today, just make a commitment to obey in every way. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the life of Peter. And as we begin this series of looking at Peter and just how you use some ordinary things to do extraordinary things, I pray that we would draw closer to you, that we would live out our faith in real, tangible ways, and in light of today, that we would just make a commitment to obey in every way. And so we look forward to what you're going to do through our ordinary obedience as you do some extraordinary, as you give extraordinary blessings through that. And I pray for each and every person here that all of us would seek to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.